Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens, and as always with me today is Brad Lominick. Hey, Brad.
Hello, people. Leaders are lifters. Leaders are includers. Leaders are releasers. So I feel like my job is to bring the people into the conversation.
To include and release.
Absolutely.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know, that's
he
it.
But he has includer on his top five.
I am an includer, yes.
So that was that was Bree, who you couldn't hear, calling him out that his top five.
I don't know if the includer is in my five. I know Woo is, and Focus, and Ambition. Those are my top three every time I take it.
None of those three are in my
What are your top five?
Strategic.
All things strategic.
Yeah, essentially the entire.
So you just have one that's all five,
all
and it's strategic.
Five. Yep. I think there's six in that, and I have five of them, and then I have something way over to the other side.
Have you taken it multiple times and gotten different
I have.
Answers?
No, it's always the same.
It's always strategic.
The top 10 changes in order,
yeah,
but those five are always the five.
Wow. So I feel like mine have changed multiple times. I've always had Focus and Ambition and Woo, but the other two always are different, depending on the season. Some season it's
but have you done the whole 36, I guess?
I don't think I have.
So you should do that. So then you can see how your 10, the data really says it's those top 10 or some people 15 that you'll see maybe there's 7 or 8 that always score depending on the season you're in, depending on the mood that day, depending on how much sleep you got. But they never drop out of that.
So center. You all did this as a team recently.
We do that. We both do it as part of the fit coming on. So when you join our team, we're going to be looking at what your strengths are and in what order they're in. Because just because you have great strengths doesn't mean they match the role that we need to place you in. So, and what we're seeing for your career track. So when someone comes to work on our team, we're plotting out where we think their career track will go with us. So we don't hire anybody thinking, well, that's as high as they're ever going to rise. So folks that go, okay, well, they could go this direction or this direction. Would they have the talent or strengths for that? And this would go past that. So we don't want to hire anybody who we can't envision them getting two career changes within our organization out as a minimum. Hmm. And
that's the full...
Full 36.
36.
So we're looking at that entire...
Before anyone's hired or as soon as
before anybody's hired. So when we get down to the final kind of 3 to 5 people for any role, we're looking at that and we're charting them with the entire team. So there are strengths that we've identified that we're a little weak in. We may only have 2 people out of 30 who have that, but we believe it's important in that area. So we're looking to chart the entire team. And so if we can pick somebody up that adds some strength in an area that may not be primary for them, but secondary, then it gives them an advantage to join our team as well.
So the Princess Leia of podcasting over here, Bree.
Is a star.
What were your 5 when you were hired? Or your 36? How did that
Oh, I don't know my whole 36. My top 5, I'm high responsibility, belief, restorative, which was one of the only 2 people had it on our team. So me and Derek, shout out to Derek, we are restorers. We like everything to get together and be in harmony, which brings me to my last top 5, which is harmony.
Oh, so there's not many harmony folks on the team as well? So how does that work? How does that show up in terms of being a restorer?
Is that,
is that organization? Is that an organizational essence of like something is not working and you're making it work?
No, I think, well, for me personally, I can't speak to Derek's with his restorative, but in my restorative, it's more of relationships. I am a very relational person. And so whether a teammate even sent a short email or something like that, I want to make sure we're on the same page. Are you upset? Do we need to talk something out? How can we work it out so we are on the same page, communicating clearly? So it's more of those communication and relational gaps that I like to fill rather than the organizational once, which I do as well, but.
No, that's good. So you would be the bridge builder and the peacekeeper.
Yeah. Well, and the person who is never mad at anybody and nobody's right. ever mad at because right. very intuitive about that and wants to make sure that relation is always restored. So Derek's our public policy guy. So Derek spends his time around politicians who have all got big egos, who are R's and D's.
No.
I know, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but public servants with big egos.
Yeah.
Shout out. I've been one of those at a time in my life, but Derek spends his life around those folks, making sure they feel good about the work we're doing and good about each other and the relationships. And he builds bridges between people who aren't naturally kind of drawn to each other.
So what's the process then once somebody's on the team? Are they going through these yearly again, or is that
so yearly ongoing? We sit down, we bring in a strengths coach who's certified, who understands it. We have a number on the team who are, but we want an outsider who can remind everybody what their strengths are, talk about how that manifests itself in decision makings, in learning styles, in capacities, talk about how we work together as a team and how those things manifest itself. And then talk about how, you know, best example I can give is we've all kind of had this, you know, where algebra is one of those things that nobody really enjoys, but you have to get through it to get mm-hmm. through college. Mm-hmm. You got to get the B or C in it. So strengths are a lot like that. If you know, I am never going to be good at algebra, but I know I have to be competent at it, then you know you can pour in development into those things that you can be incredible at. You know, the sports analogies, you can go from a U.S. record holder to a world record holder if right. you can just train more on where your strengths are. And so that's a lot of why we do it.
And is there other tests that you're using for onboarding or there for ongoing?
Yeah, no. So for onboarding, we use an assessment by Talent Plus. They're a group out of Nebraska. And then we use another tool from HumanX, which is headquartered in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where we're from. So we're using both of those tools. So for us, once we analyze that we have a need for somebody, team coalesces around that need. We gather in all the resumes, and some jobs will have 100 resumes for one job, but we kind of get it down based on your resume and your experience, mostly about who you had a relationship with. Almost everyone on our team had a previous relationship, might be 2 degrees of separation, but a previous relationship with somebody on the team. So who do you have advocating for you? So we'll narrow it down. We then have an online tool that Talent Plus provides us where people can go in and analyze intensity. So it's how intensive do you do your job? Everybody has talent strengths. Everybody right. on death row has the top 5
yeah.
in strengths. But it doesn't necessarily tell you about their values and their intensity and their style. And so this instrument we use with Talent Plus tells us we're only hiring the right horse. So there are some days you need a plow horse because you're going to plow. There's days you need a quarter horse because you want short range speed. And there's days you want a thoroughbred because you're going to run a mile. And so we make sure that we're getting the right person for the right job with the right intensities. And so everyone does that. We get it down to about 3 people, of which one has to be a diversity candidate. So we will not go forward in the process till we have a diversity candidate who has made it through all of the process, gone through all the assessments. Then once we have a diversity candidate and the 2 other candidates, they then interview with every member of the team. So the team member isn't looking at their resume. It's already been validated. They're not looking at where they went to college. It's already validated. They're not looking at their assessment tools. It's already all been validated. They're then saying, do I want to spend a third of my life
right.
with this person? Do I want to put my mortgage at risk based on that person's capacity to lead and do what they say? And so once you interview, we have a best friend that's assigned to each candidate through this role. So their job is to help shepherd the candidate through that. And then once somebody's hired for the first week,
they're their host.
Excuse me, the first 3 months, they're their best friend.
Huh.
They help.
That's a great idea.
They help them get through it. They explain why we do things. They're asking, "Are you happy? Do we have the right snacks in the kitchen for you? Here's how we do things. I know Ron barks about these things. Here's why. Here's what just happened."
They're the translator. Yeah. For the culture. Yeah.
That's it. And yeah. So they're helping them get through that. But they also get them through this process. We get down, everybody interviews. You can get a black ball. So every member of the team has the right to say, they'll come to me and say, "Ron, it didn't work, and here's why I don't think this works." Invariably, it's about a behavior where they treat somebody in an inappropriate way. They tell an off-color joke. They're diminishing to women. They're diminishing to the waitress or waiter at the restaurant. They had bad table manners.
Yeah.
But it's something to go,
something sort of a character question.
Yeah, it makes me want to think that this person isn't going to fit with us. So,
and are you hiring? I mean, I'm sorry, Ron. Are you in? You're involved in every.
I'm not involved at all yet. All I did was approve that we're going to go after this person, and here's what the role is.
Gotcha.
We don't have job descriptions. We don't believe in job descriptions. They become a limiting factor, and people use them to say, "It's not my job."
Mm-hmm.
Everything's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we get down, we've gone through this fit, everybody who says yes doesn't just say, "Yeah, okay." They have to send me a note that says, "Ron, I believe this person will fit on our team. I believe they have the character, capacity, and drive to succeed on our team. And I know that I am directly responsible for their success or failure." So there's none of this 2 months later. Hey, I didn't really like them. I didn't think they were going to fit. No.
I knew this would happen.
I got a letter from you. Yeah. You were all in.
Yeah.
You told me. And that really came from church. It was an epiphany one day I had in church. I happened to attend a church that baptizes babies. And in that role, the entire church stands up and says,
Affirms we're committed. Yeah.
We're committed to the life of this child and supporting its parents. And I thought, wow, what if we went to work every day? Knowing that everybody who is there when you got there said that about you.
That's good.
Everybody supported you before you got here, before they really knew you, before your friends, before you ever shared those kind of deep things. They said, "I'm all in." So that's where that came from. And then what comes to me, there's either two or three that made it through fit, sometimes one, but generally two or three. And then I can't go wrong. I interview the remainders, and the team's validated them. All those tests have validated them. Everybody has said yes. And so then I just have to pick the one that I think on that day best serves our team. And in a lot of cases, we end up hiring two of them. A few months later, we'll go back.
Sure.
And we all go, "We have an opening. Let's just go grab that one."
This is one of the hardest things of organizational life.
Yes.
Is actually finding, not just finding talent, but then interviewing them well, taking them through a process well, and then onboarding them well. And it sounds like your process is working and it's being done in the right way. And I mean, the proof is in the pudding in terms of the retention percentages and the, you know, people staying on your team and
absolutely
that sense that they feel validated day one when they walk in.
Yes, you're exactly right. You know, when folks leave our team, it is rarely. I can only think of one case in the last 5 years where somebody left because of performance. Invariably, when somebody leaves our team, I think we've had six people leave in the last 5 years or so, and they're all leading their own organization.
They're moving up to something that, yeah.
And that's part of, you know, the very first week that you join our team, we're going to have lunch. And one of the commitments I'm going to make, I'm going to ask a couple things. One, I want you to create a list. And over the next 60 days or so, everything that we said we were going to do that we authentically don't do. So if we said we're the best place in the world and you can leave and go work out in the middle of the day without anybody judging you, if you find that's not true, then let's talk about it. If we told you you're going to have whatever you need to succeed and we're not providing that, I want you to have it. If people are gossiping and we told you it's a zero tolerance or gossiping environment, you need to tell me about it. We're going to sit down. But the other thing is I want you to know you have my commitment that my job is for you to have the job of your dreams. And I hope that's with us. But if it's not, it's still my job. It's still my commitment to you. So if you decide you want to get a different job, if there's an opportunity out there that works better, let me be your first reference. I will call the person that you're looking at going to work for, and I will tell them that they're a fool if they don't hire you and how amazing you are. and I will advocate for you. I will be there. I want to be quoted in the press release for your new job, talking about how amazing you are. That's how committed we are to you as a team member, because I want you to know you have opportunities.
That's great. Well, and if you didn't hear that, what Ron just said, you need to rewind about 45 seconds and listen to that premise that you release people well. Because so many times leaders, we take it personal when somebody leaves, and partly because we feel like many times that they've moved to a place where they don't want to be led by us anymore. When in essence, part of our job is to move them into, at some point in their journey, that they might have the potential to go elsewhere and do things that are bigger and better. And that's such a freeing thing for a leader to be able to celebrate with their teammate who is now getting an opportunity, compared to, you're the evil empire that's keeping me from having any other opportunities, and I don't ever want to tell you. In fact, you're the last person, Ron, that I would ever tell, compared to, no, like, I want to be part of the process to help you potentially go find something.
Yeah, I'll help you negotiate your contract. I'll show you, you know, in a lot of cases, here are the terms in my agreement. Here's other guys I know or gals that are working in this that you should be talking to about that. Here's those resources you need to make good decisions. Here's what it costs if you move and you're changing regions.
Yeah.
Here's the cost you aren't thinking about.
Yeah.
That you need to understand your family's going to have trouble acclimating to.
And that's good. So, you're the coach in those situations. You're the mentor compared to being the principal who you're in trouble. You're now in the principal's office and you're afraid you're going to get a SWAT.
Yeah, you're sneaking out. You go in and pack your office the night before you tell the boss because you know he's going to fire you on the spot. We want a nice transition. We want to celebrate you. We want to honor you because I also want, we're expanding our network. I want to be able to call if we need something, and you call me if you need something. And I don't want to ever have to live in a world where it's not that way. It's the best thing I can do is create it for myself.
It's a good because the reputation of an organization many times is built on the foundation of those who have worked there and left.
Yeah.
And now, do they talk about that organization in a positive light, or do they talk about that organization in a negative light?
Yeah.
And you want people out there being the greatest fans of that season. I mean, I love what Andy Stanley says about those who work at North Point. And he says, you know, I know this may not be your only job. I just want it to be your best job. Absolutely. You're probably going to move on from here. It won't be the only thing you ever do. I just want this season, however long you're with us, to be the best.
That's great advice. And I don't know how we add more than that. And so thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
And, it's always such a joy to sit across the table that's still covered with M&Ms and jelly beans and share this time with you. And it's great to share this time with you each week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog, or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.